This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me, back in the chair, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How are you, brother?
Well, when you are in Nashville for 4 days around 80s pro wrestlers and, more importantly, 80s pro wrestling fans, and you don't come back with a disease, you're good.
Yeah, that's good. I was really expecting you to be dead when you returned. Two different kinds of COVID, maybe some monkeypox.
Many, many memories, which we'll get into. I'm still high off of it.
Every day there's a new picture that you post. I'm like, what the fuck? I thought you were done.
I know, but, you know, it's like all these pictures, and I know some of them aren't going to get, like, a ton of likes, but it's like, hey, I got to meet the Godfather and so on and so forth.
Did you smoke weed with the Godfather?
He probably would have, because I told him, hey, I was the co-host on Piper's podcast when we interviewed you, and he's like, oh, I remember you, and he probably didn't. Mm, but
just being nice.
And the best part about the thing, and we'll talk later, not one negative experience. Like, it was like everything that, like, comedy or whatever entertainment should be. Like, you're paid well, everyone's cool, unlike another show I've been associated with.
I don't know, have you mentioned it before?
No, I think everyone's great.
All right, great.
Sorry, I'm like the ultimate warrior. I don't let go. Because I'm afraid if I do, I'll die of a heart attack in Arizona.
Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I'm glad to have you back. Last week was fun, but, you know, my back hurt from the carrying of this show. Anyway.
It's out of control.
Dude. Out of control. Anyway, we got a lot of shit to talk about. We'll start with WWE. My first note is Karrion Kross is back with Scarlett, and they're taking aim at Roman Reigns. And we got the Karrion Kross from NXT, which is clear signs that Triple H is in charge, if anybody was wondering. And there's a lot of rumors on the internet that Vince is pulling the strings from the back. If he was, we would have gotten Gimp Mask Gladiator Karrion Kross instead of the NXT one. Now, he was a little different. He had hair. But everything else, like the entrance, we had Scarlett. She brought out the little hourglass thing. That's all from NXT. So I'm excited to see, you know, we needed a big guy that has the charisma and the technique to kind of step up to the plate for Roman, because he says it in his promos, but it's true. There really is no one else.
Yeah, I mean, they've really milked the Lesnar tit as much as they can. And I think with the last match they had with the ring exploding or whatever happened.
The lifting with the tractor.
I think that was like an exclamation point of, okay, we're done with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vince, I believe he'll always be truly pulling the strings, even though today it was reported the total number, the dollar amount of payouts was almost $20 million. This guy loves pussy, because I was on a date last night at Dantana's, dropped $200, and I was sweating bullets.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we were talking before we started that, you know, it's just an assumption that all these guys are going to come back, and girls in a certain degree, because Triple H is back. But, you know, a lot of people don't like Triple H. So you don't know if Bray Wyatt got along with him or didn't, because, you know, Triple H, I think, is known as maybe the greatest politician in the history of wrestling. So I'm not so sure all these big names are coming back and whatnot, but it's definitely an interesting time, and it's got me watching WWE again.
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting because of that factor. You don't know who's going to come back. You don't really know what's going to happen. But very clearly, you can see Triple H's influence right now already with the last couple Raws and SmackDown. Like, you got all these people coming back from NXT. We'll see. And there's a lot of rumors circling the internet of just AEW stars that are like, oh, well, Triple H is back. I'm not happy with the amount of TV time I'm getting in AEW. But we'll get into that. I'm excited to see Karrion Kross back. He's a terrific talent, and I want to see what he does. KO got a nice little reset. He came out with Ezekiel. I was like, really? Again? And then he just fucking killed him, and just that was it. There wasn't even a match. So it was kind of like a nice little reset to bring back that ruthless Kevin Owens that we've missed.
Yeah, he's really, I think, the most versatile wrestler on the roster. He can be the funny guy with Elias. I mean, Ezekiel, you dummies. He can be, you know, what the reboot was on Monday night. You know, just vicious animal. And he's a great wrestler. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Rick Rude from the standpoint of he could be a good guy, he could be a bad guy. The crowd's going to love him either way. So I'm excited for this new rebranding of sorts for him.
Yeah, and I think Ezekiel might go away for a while since they did that injury angle from, you know, they stretchered him out, I think it was. He might go away so he can grow a beard back and maybe come back as Elias, you know?
That's a long beard. I mean, that's like a year's worth of growth. But
well, if he gets a regular beard and then just attach some weave on it, like, you know, to make it look bigger, he could come back sooner.
I mean, I miss the guitar and in the musical segments, but he's a good wrestler. And so I do, you know, he's kind of like Damian Sandow, like where I almost want to see them as in a serious role because they were both, they're good wrestlers. It's almost like Orange Cassidy. Mm. And I know we'll talk about AEW later, but like if you've ever seen Orange Cassidy work a real match, it's like, wow, this guy's good. Forget the humor stuff. So I hope when they bring back Elias, it's in a little bit more of a serious note because he does have a great body, which Vince and I'm assuming Triple H like. And so I think there's potential for him to grow out of the shtick.
Yeah, maybe he'll come back as Elrod, which was his younger brother, the third younger brother that Kevin...
or do something like, you know, because it's kind of like where Jay Lethal was doing the humor stuff in TNA with, you know, Black Machismo and Black, basically, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And you now see him in a more serious role. I'd like for that to happen, you know, and just don't pair him with Satnam Singh. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. We also, on this past Raw, we got the return of Dexter Lumis, which is cool. You know, shout out to him and my buddy Rick, who's like his trainer out there in Florida. And, you know, really happy to see him back doing something because he did a couple indie shows, but, you know, no one was watching that. So it's cool to see him. And it was really cool the approach they took for it. Throughout the entire episode, there was like weird shit going on in the background. They were doing interviews. There was a car accident. And then there was another interview where there's like cops running by. And then at the end of the episode, they had this, it looked like a fan was rushing the ring, which happens every once in a while. But then they pull the hoodie back and it's him. So that's a nice little cliffhanger for next week to see where that goes.
I did like the amount of shenanigans that went on Monday night. Like it was, you know, I'll give the WWE this. It's hard to do a three-hour show. Like, there's going to be some lulls. So, and I think I'm falling in love with Doudrop. I mean.
you know what I'm getting sick of, though? I'm getting sick of the brawls throughout the entire arena. That they've done it like 3 weeks in a row, and I'm just like, these refs can't stop these little female wrestlers, like the female superstars, from fighting each other. It's just, they send every week, I'm like, this is the only thing that I've grown tired of real quickly.
Yeah, I do think that's played out in both companies.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Moxley, you know, yeah. He goes through the crowd.
All the time. It's like, come on, guys.
It's just, and, you know, I don't like in both companies, and probably smaller ones too, when they have the security guards who are clearly independent wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like, because if you look at these security guards, they would not be hired by one legitimate security company. Guys with mohawks and, like, you know, swastika tattoos. It's like, what? Get out of town.
Did you ever see the video clip of MJF when he was a security guard?
No, I did not.
Yeah, dude. He was walking out next to Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe pushes him against the door like to get him out of the way because he was like kind of walking in front of him. But you can YouTube that. There's clips of MJF just as a security guard for Samoa Joe. It's hilarious.
Because I was up the other night, and, you know, there's this channel in L.A. called KDOC. It's Channel 56 if you're, you know, in Orange County or L.A., and they had these really weird wrestling shows on. I think this was Championship Wrestling, which is, I think it's done at the Irvine Improv of all places.
Yeah.
And they had a very, very young and somewhat chubby MJF wrestling.
Hmm.
And it was just funny and they use a much smaller ring, I'll assume, because it's, you know, in a comedy club.
Yeah.
And it was just funny to see him. I don't know how green he was, but he looked maybe to be 2 years into the business. And so it's kind of neat to see how far he's come in a pretty short amount of time.
Well, we might have to poach those people to bring a ring in here so we could do Storrs War.
I mean, anything's possible. I mean, you know, I would love to be a voluntary heel manager. I've got some ideas, so maybe if you could put me with Dewdrop.
The emails are out. The emails are out.
I've been with worse looking.
So you're into big girls, huh?
My last girlfriend left such an impression on me and my air mattress, it broke it. She's out of control, pushing two bills.
Woo!
Or not my last girl. I don't want to get in trouble with that one. It was like a couple girlfriends ago. So.
All right.
She was a real animal. I knew she liked food when I pulled out and there was a turkey on my dick. Now I'm going into material.
Anyway, all right. Hello. Another sign of Triple H's reign. Tommaso Ciampa getting a U.S. title shot against Bobby Lashley. And for a minute there, I almost thought Trips would give it to him. I'm like, okay, if he would have, it would have been a little too soon, a little bit too obvious. Like, okay, this is just Trips trying to get his boys some gold. So I'm really glad that actually Lashley won that match. He deserves it. He's super over. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't think Lashley's kind of had this weird resurgence of kind of being like a mid-card talent, upper mid-card, and now he's back in, you know, the big leagues at the top of the card. And, I mean, he does have a great look. He looks like a complete psychopath.
Yeah.
You know, the shaved eyebrows and this beautiful body. Like, that's a great body. Like, that is an 80s wrestling body. And he's, I'm hard as a rock right now.
Cool off, bud.
If I could have a threesome with him and Dewdrop, get
Whoa.
Out of town.
I mean, I'll pay for that pay-per-view.
No, I've already thought about it. Dewdrop's in the front, I'm in the middle, and Lashley's behind me. Hello!
Here's the other thing I noticed about the Ciampa match. They're sort of taking a play out of AEW's playbook where, like, they want you to think Ciampa might win. Like, when they took the turnbuckle off, nobody gets out of what's-his-name's finisher. But it gave you that thought that Ciampa might back him up into there and actually get the win. He threw him into there. Like, they're getting to the point where they're getting to false finishes, which I don't think WWE was really doing much of. And they're making you think the small guy might win, which, I definitely thought he was walking away with it. I thought he was getting out of the, I don't even know what his finisher is called. The lock, something lock. Hurt lock.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you guys don't know the finisher?
I didn't even hear it.
Well, because I remember when Chris Masters used the same thing. So many superstars used the same.
The master lock.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're trying to convince you that these guys might actually win, I think it's a good, it's a smart move. It keeps people interested in the matches.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, my favorite era of wrestling is in the mid-80s, like NWA, when you really, the smaller guys could win, you know, they really played it up. And Triple H, you know, he was a huge fan of mid-80s NWA just because, I mean, me and Triple H are around the same age, so we like the same stuff. So I think he's definitely influenced by, he's almost like anti-squash match, which I am too, like, because then you ruin one of the characters, like, almost instantly.
Yeah, I'm okay with squash matches if it's a local jobber and it's only one or two of them. I don't like to see with WWE, both WWE and AEW do this where when they got a big guy, it's week after week after week of squash. Like, I only need one or two. I get it. The guy's big and he's going to kill everyone. I get it. Let's move on. But I don't know. But it's cool. I'm excited to see, like I said, I'm excited for this new Triple H era. There's on the internet, if you read, there's a whole lot of jokes about Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley. Dom being dommed, maybe switching his name to Sub. There's a whole lot of BDSM shit going on because of that one spot that Rhea was choking him with her legs. And she actually posted, Dom's out here living all your dreams, you know, getting choked out by my thighs and shit. So
that's not my dream. Being stuck in between that bear trap. I'm good.
Get him back to AEW, to NXT. Enough with Dom. Like, I get it. He comes from a legendary family. He's terrible.
It's sad.
Anything in two years, 3 years. Get him out of there. He's
I agree. I just don't think he's ready yet. Like, he's good, but like,
He's not good, though. He's very.
I mean, he's
very
good for his experience level.
No, I don't think he's good at all. I think he's just he's Ray's son, and that's what they're trying to play up. And in terms of long-term storytelling, he was on TV as a kid, and they're taking advantage of that. And they're like, look, he was a little boy. Now he's competing. Get rid of him. I'd rather see Logan Paul every week.
That's what I'm saying. Logan Paul is actually better than Dom.
Oh, by...
And he is.
And I'm not a fan of Logan, but it's just a better wrestler at this point.
No, I agree.
If he sticks with it, which, you know, he makes so much money in the YouTube stratosphere and his other ventures, I don't see him putting in the work long-term to be a great wrestler, but he should because he's, with limited training, he's good.
Yeah.
But
he's going to be great if he actually sticks to the touring schedule and all of that.
But I think the first time he gets injured, which hopefully doesn't happen, but it's pro wrestling. You know, you mistime a frog splash on a table. You know, he breaks a rib or two. I think I'll go back to YouTube videos. I wouldn't blame him.
Well, also, he claims he found his calling, but I also feel like once he gets successful enough in the WWE and the movie offers start coming in, he's the first one to dip out to go do movies and shit. Because, I mean, what's bigger than that, I guess, you know, in entertainment? So this whole thing with Dom and Rhea Ripley is funny to me to see it on the internet. But the highlight is that they're finally starting to show this rebellious kind of breakup situation between him and Ray, which is what I want. Just let him go on his own. It's really weird to see them come out together and the whole kiss and the hug and like, oh, it's my son. Like, okay, we get it. You know, we've been through this when I'm your papi with fucking.
But that's
Eddie.
The end of the line. Like, where do you go from that storyline? At that point, Dom, the father son thing is done. I'm great. I'm happy they were the first father son. You get rid of him. He's not doing anything for the show.
Yeah.
That's a guy who could get squashed and you send him away for a while, either have him get bigger.
Yeah. Like,
and I think we all know how you do that.
Milk.
And, you know, just. You know, I mean, if his last name was Jackson, he probably wouldn't be up. So, you know, but I mean, you gotta, you know, it's weird when the dad is so good, it's like Wayne Gretzky's kid's probably not that good at hockey. So, you know.
Yeah. In other actual things that happened, you know, I wanted to bring up Bayley and Io Sky and Dakota Kai kind of coming out and saying that they're, you know, they want to elevate the women's division, which I think there's a new focus on it. I can already see that it's a big influence from Stephanie to Trips. Like, hey, we got to focus on the women's division because it needs help. We've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks of how terrible the women's division is in both companies. So I'm excited to see this new push for Bayley and her faction and the women's division as a whole. So that's exciting. But moving into like things that are happening outside of the ring, outside of the show, John Laurinaitis got fired, which is Johnny Ace. I guess it's a good thing for a lot of people in the back. They were very unhappy with him. He was part of the whole Vince McMahon thing. Everybody focused on Vince, but he was the other name in all of these accusations. So it's, you know, I'm glad they got rid of him. It's, you know, you shouldn't have that guy there.
If I can just say one thing about the women's wrestling.
Yeah.
I think you got to get bustier broads in there, you know. No, I'm just kidding. You got to get girls with like double D's.
Bring back the divas.
I don't even care if they can wrestle, to be honest with you. I'm trying to come when I'm watching wrestling. But no, in all serious, if I can be like Lance Storm, if I can be serious for a moment, I think if they found, you know, you got to be like Nick Nolte in Blue Chips, and you got to find Shaq in the jungle playing basketball. You got to have this gigantic woman. I think like an Awesome Kong type, you know, just some badass, you know, 6'7". Get some broad who played in the WNBA and didn't pan out and, you know, put the giant Gonzalez suit on her. And because I think then you could put someone like Alexa Bliss against her, you know, the Davey versus Goliath. You know, you could have some. There's not like a gigantic woman, like, you know, and I think that would help either company. If you had like this Goldberg type monster, and you don't really have that in the women's division.
They try and build Raquel Rodriguez, Gonzalez, Martinez. I forget what last name. She used to be Raquel Rodriguez. Now she's Gonzalez? I don't know.
Well, they did that with Nia Jax, and she was just hurting people.
Yeah.
Well, so, like, I'm fine for bringing in a bigger woman that everybody, like, really has a competition with, and, like, that's destroying people. But Nia Jax was actually destroying people.
Yeah. I mean, I saw her at the Flair roast, or at the convention part of it, and, like, she could hurt some dudes. Like, she had this body that, I mean, once again, I've been with worse looking. But, like, she's probably 250, and it's solid.
She's not unattractive. Like, just
she's got an OnlyFans.
I don't know about that.
She's not unattractive. Because she's so big, I don't think she has the control that you need to not hurt people when you're doing certain things.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you train this gigantic woman, or hope that there's got to be some women that are like 6'7", 6'8".
Rhea Ripley is pretty big. If they were to like book her better, she could be that, but she's just kind of third fiddle now.
I also think that's the problem. That's part of the problem. They're looking for bigger women when it's like the bigger women are great, but when you have the Charlotte, the Becky, like those are the taller ones that they're really trying to push the division onto. But they have 30-something smaller women. Let the smaller women compete. I think they're doing that now with Liv, and I think it's going to work out a little bit. But bringing back, like, Dakota Kai, that's going to be great for, like, a
nice little slip. You said Dakota Sky, which is exactly what Bayley did on TV.
Like, who thought that those names were... Like, if you were going to change the spelling of Io Sky's name or Io Shirai to Io Sky, like, what are we doing?
Yeah. No, well, they're trying to make it easier to say. I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
No, Io Shirai is her real name, and now moving into WWE, they're not doing that anymore. Yeah. That's why Raquel Gonzalez exists now.
But just find a girl who looks like Bray Wyatt. Believe me, I've seen him on the streets of L.A.
Had one. The one that was partner with Liv and Ruby.
Sarah Logan?
Yeah.
And what happened to her?
Yeah, I don't know. She was married to...
She got laid off.
She got laid off. Well, she had a baby, too. She's married
to... That was
to,
after she got booted. Her and Ruby got kicked off.
She had a baby?
Yeah, she had a baby. She's with Big Damo, Killian Dane, big old hairy dude that we saw in Japan.
That kid must have felt like
he was... I think she's with
one
of the Viking Raiders.
Huh?
Isn't she with one of the Viking Raiders?
Oh, right. You're right. I'm confused. Nikki Ash is with Killian Dane, Big Damo. And she's with one of the Viking Raiders. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also a wasted tag team.
Raiders.
What are we doing?
Well, I mean, I didn't mean to jump off topic, but I do think that there's got to be some Olympic athlete. You know, those athletes after the Olympics are over make zero money. So there's got to be some Romanian broad. It looks like Rusev or Miro, and you just get her in there. And, like, you know, just you have all these little, you know, Trish Stratus type, you know, Alexa Bliss, the smaller girls just get squashed and then... I don't know, maybe Charlotte, who I saw Nashville. She looks pretty good in person, to be honest with you.
Don't say that. Andrade will kill you.
I didn't say I wanted the porker. Andrade gave me a fist bump. He knows what's up.
Right. Am I the only one who didn't think Lana was a terrible wrestler? Like, she's someone that got let go, and it's like, she wasn't that bad in the ring when you've seen, like, Summer Rae in there. Like, yeah, Lana was pretty good.
But what do you do with Lana after Nia Jax put her through a table 7 weeks in a row? Like,
you let her go and then you bring her back and you let her come back with a bigger, like, gimmick.
Well, Miro is unhappy with AEW, so maybe he comes back to WWE with Lana. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Johnny Ace getting fired. Do you care?
I mean, you know, it's like exposing the freaks in comedy. You think Vince is the only horny guy running around backstage?
Oh, no.
You know, from Pat Patterson to, you know, probably a zillion other guys. If you fired every person who's got some sexual demons, you know, the three of us would be wrestling on Monday Night Raw. Do I care? Not really, because, you know, the WWE is a machine. They're not going to miss anyone. You know, as much as we love Regal, and I know that NXT... prospects miss him because of how he handled them. They're surviving without him. They will survive without John Laurinaitis.
Absolutely. And I know from what I've read, a lot of backstage people don't like him, so they're happy that he's gone. Also, in the rumors kind of section of things, Shawn Michaels has been tasked to bring back Johnny Gargano. I don't even think he needs to be tasked for that. Like, Gargano was basically waiting for this to happen, I think. And they keep teasing it on TV. Like, Corey Graves mentioned when Ciampa was wrestling, he said, you got to do it yourself, which is their Ciampa and Gargano's old tag team was called DIY, do it yourself. So I think it's happening. It's a matter of time, I think, before Gargano's back. And then finally, there's a lot of, like, weird cryptic tweets going out from Wyndham Rotunda and Redbeard. And, you know, Braun isn't really doing shit with Control Your Narrative, which was terrible. So the rumors are floating that there is going to be a Wyatt family reunion in WWE soon. I'm for it. I think it would be cool. I don't really think he fits. I don't think Wyatt fits in AEW, to be honest. AEW doesn't do a lot of spooky shit. The only spooky shit they do is House of Black. And I think adding another spooky thing would just take away from House of Black. I don't know. I think it'd be cool if he comes back to WWE now.
I mean, I think it'll be clear after the next AEW pay-per-view, which, you know, they'll want a big surprise for, you know, where a lot of these guys and girls end up. You know, and it's in September. Is it All or Nothing?
All Out. All Out, I think, is what's coming in Chicago.
That's coming in, yeah. So, you know, I think Tony Khan probably feels the pressure now of Triple H being back. And I think he thought beforehand with Vince there, he had a clear shot at getting even Gargano and Wyatt. And now it's not so much. So I think there's some pressure for a nice surprise at the next AEW pay-per-view. You know, he could cheat and just have Omega come out. That'd be pretty nice. But I think he, you know, billionaires, they don't like to lose.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he is begging Wyatt, I'll give you whatever you want. You want to do the spooky shit, we'll do that. You want to bring back the, you know, they can bring back Harper. Rowan, I'm sorry.
Rowan. Redbeard.
I've just been informed.
Huh?
Do we want an AEW spoiler for tonight?
I mean, I'm taping it. Oh, we know CM Punk is back.
Okay. So
is there another one?
We won't spoil.
So that's the surprise.
What? No.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, if you're watching AEW tonight, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, we got that in the notes.
This is coming out Monday, so they're going to have already seen it.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. CM Punk came back.
Wow. Hey, we're going to get to it. Jesus Christ. Format, Pellets. All right.
Well, no, I mean, so I do think, well, it does have something to do with, you know, Wyatt. Mm-hmm. I do find it weird that he changed it to Wyatt 6. Because if he was just coming back straight to WWE, why do the name?
Well, here's the thing. He changed it to Wyndham Rotunda for a while, which was his real name. And then he changed it to Wyatt 6, Wyatt being a WWE name. Even though there's a 6, Wyatt is his name in WWE. So
yeah, but that's like Christian Cage. I mean, they just want to keep their fan base, keep the association.
Right, yeah.
I mean, listen, I really thought Wyatt's dad was an actual IRS attorney. That's how much of a mark I am, Erwin R. Scheister.
Yeah, buddy.
I really thought, I'm like, oh, they want this guy to make sure all the wrestlers are currently paid up on their taxes. They probably would have been better off with an actual attorney. But,
yeah, right.
But I'm old, so I loved Mike Rotunda.
Yeah, he was great. I liked him, too, when I was a kid. I think, honestly, talking about what we're saying, and you said, you know, Tony's feeling the pressure. I think this is the beginning of the actual war between AEW and WWE. I don't think Tony Khan had a foot with Vince. It didn't seem like an actual war, but I think now that Trips is back and people are more compelled to go back to WWE, I think this is when shit's going to get real.
It's going to be interesting because now that WWE is doing the TV-14 thing.
Yeah, there's that too.
There are characters that were probably around that were maybe had some success in WWE that if they came back, they probably wouldn't have the same success. Like,
yeah.
I don't see Miro coming back and Rusev Day being a thing.
Well, I think it's also, and it's almost like a TNA comparison, that a lot of these guys, and I'll assume girls too, want to do acting or other things. And AEW's schedule, frankly, is better for that. Like, you know, they have 2 shows a week. I don't know what they do in terms of house shows.
They don't do many.
If any.
Yeah, that's what Miro said. He feels physically better only doing one show a week as opposed to this crazy WWE road schedule.
If he gets on one show a week.
Yeah, it's insane, you know, the WWE schedule.
Yeah.
So I could see, I'm not trying to start a rumor or anything, but like someone like Ziggler who, you know, is doing stand-up and I'm sure, you know, he's a very good-looking guy. He could be in an action movie or something. I'm sure at some point, you know, two shows a week. And like you said, they only do, like Ziggler wouldn't do Rampage and Dynamite. Let's just say he would do Dynamite. Oh, that's one show. It's 6 days for auditions and all that shit.
Yeah.
So I do think they can use their lack of schedule. It's almost a selling point.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Ziggler going to AEW would be good for Ryan, our previous guest.
Hollywood hunk.
Get them together, man. Get them both together, the brothers. I mean, that would help. I mean, not that Ryan's doing poorly for himself. He's on TV and having great matches with, you know, fucking the Lucha Bros
I never get this guy's name right. The Asian kid with the hair, Takeshita.
Takeshita.
Oh, I did get it right. Yeah. So, and he's paired with pretty Peter Avalon, who I think is a funny, almost a guy that has a Jimmy Hart vibe to his look. But, and I'm not trying to start that rumor. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that would be nice. That is appealing. It is appealing for some people that don't want to work that insane schedule.
It's like when Sting went to TNA. Now, you could argue it was a mistake because he could have had a great match with The Undertaker in his relative prime. But he's like, TNA, we do all the matches in one studio in Florida. I'm good. Like, I'm going to do that.
Since you mentioned Peter Avalon, you know that he has a tag team in the Indies with a guy named Ray Rosas, and they're called PP Ray.
I mean, he's funny to me. You guys know how bitter I am. I don't find much funny. But when we went to AEW at the Forum, the Kia Forum, I can't call it that. Get out of here, man. He's just funny. He's got that it in terms of funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, I don't know if it's just a look or his mannerisms, but I hope that somehow he can get a little more TV time, which I know it's hard with only 3 hours, but they're wasting a good humor talent, I think, with him.
Yeah, I mean, he gets a good amount of airtime on Being the Elite, but that's something you have to go out of your way to watch on YouTube, which is the AEW kind of like reality show that they do on the side. Anyway, going into AEW, I already mentioned that Miro is unhappy. This is something that he's spoken of. He's just not getting the treatment that he expected, I guess, upon his return. But, you know, Tony Khan has spoken on it. He's like, I can't feature everyone. They don't have enough TV time. So who knows? Who knows what happens with Miro? I hope nothing but the best for him. He's such a great dude.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah. I do like the tease of him joining House of Black.
Yeah.
I thought that was very well done when they showed him walk out with the glasses and you could see like maybe a little bit of black paint right there. But, you know, he probably is being underutilized. You know, maybe he's someone I like to see in a program with Wardlow just because it's two very, very big athletic guys. But, you know, like we've all said, 3 hours of programming, you're not going to get everyone in.
Yeah. Speaking of Wardlow, Battle of the Belts 3 happened last week on Saturday. It was fine. The first match was Wardlow versus Jay Lethal.
My boy.
The internet, the internet goes crazy. We were talking about Dom and the BDSM shit. The internet went crazy with the way that he pinned Jay Lethal. I don't know if you saw that, but he kind of just mounted him completely and was going to choke him, but then ended up just pinning him. And now there are people on the internet doing fan art about, you know, I want to be pinned by Wardlow like that and all that shit. So,
well, give him Pat Patterson's number. I mean, I just love Jay Lethal. And I told him this, you're too nice to boo, but he's a great, he really hams up the heel stuff. Saddam Singh is somewhat growing on me. He's getting a little more comfortable in front of the cameras. And I'm blanking. Who's the little bald guy?
Sanjay Dukta. I might be saying that last name wrong, but it's Sanjay.
I do like him. He's got that Daivari type. You know, when Daivari was Muhammad Hassan's manager.
He's good on the mic. Really, really good on the mic. He's a good talker
for
sure.
What a terrible character. Muhammad Hassan. An Al-Qaeda-like character. But I don't really like the humor stuff that much, but when they had a match recently with Orange Cassidy.
Mm. And, they did the kicks back and forth.
And then he broke the pencil and it was like, ah! I don't know. I watched it. This is kind of there.
It was there. Nothing happened. No titles changed hands. It was just a thing that happened. If you missed it, you didn't miss much. If you're a big wrestling fan, watch, you know, Claudio versus Takeshita. That was a great fucking match. Amazing match.
Amazing.
But, like, storyline-wise, didn't matter. There was nothing progressed. None of it mattered. It was just good wrestling if you want to watch some good wrestling, you know?
I mean, it's tough to say I didn't like it because, you know, it was good wrestling. All three matches were good, entertaining, but I wish they would have used it for at least one situation to advance a storyline.
Yeah.
But, you know, we complain that they're not giving us enough TV, so they give us TV, so it's they can't win, probably.
Yeah, they're kind of going with it. The whole Wardlow Lethal thing has now evolved this week on Dynamite, just today. Wardlow came out to face Lethal and the Sanjay and Singh with FTR. That was interesting. I know you haven't seen it. I'm sorry if I'm ruining all of this for you, but, you know, it was cool to see that, you know, they're all champs. They all came out with their belts, and it was Wardlow and FTR versus those three, which, I mean, Sanjay is not he doesn't belong in that whole debacle because FTR and Wardlow will eat him alive.
But I think 100%. Like, there's no doubt he should not. But I also understand it. When you have a guy that is literally 7'4", legit, like, he's not. I even asked Jay Lethal when I met him, like, is he really that big, or is it camera angles? He's like, no, he's that big.
Oh, yeah.
So I understand why they're rushing him a little bit. And I think if you protect him, you put him in there with someone who can take the bumps and act like, you know, they got shot when he hits him. I'm not against using him because he's an amazing-looking specimen.
Yeah.
Maybe you have the, you know, one of those guys, either Lethal or the other, who turn on him or something, where, like, Jay Lethal and him would be a great match from the standpoint of Lethal would call the match and do everything and make him look like a rock star.
Yeah.
So
I think they should keep Sanjay with Singh just because I don't think Singh can do well on the mic.
Oh, so no.
He needs Sanjay on the mic and just him being the giant monster, and have Lethal just go do single stuff because he's so talented and you know, deserves that.
You cannot. Tony Khan, if you're listening, I'm begging you. You cannot put Singh on the mic, dude.
Yeah, please stop it.
He can barely do the move where he goes like that when they all come out. Like, you can't. He'll make Lance Storm look like Ric Flair and Rick Rude. Please, please don't do that.
But there are a trio. So is, you know, I guess Wardlow and FTR is considered a trio. But I think FTR and like CM Punk is going to do a thing. Either way, that brings me to the trios title tournament, which was announced. The brackets are announced. I'm just going to go over it real quick. Death Triangle, which is the Lucha Bros and Pac, versus Will Ospreay and the Aussie Open, which is cool that, you know, they're still doing New Japan stuff. We also got Andrade El Idolo with Dragon Lee and Rush versus the Young Bucks and question mark. Gee, I wonder who that question mark may be. Who do you think is going to come back to join the Young Bucks?
I don't know. I mean,
Kenny Omega.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know. What am I fucking booking the thing?
No. The Bucks have only ever paired with Hangman and Omega in that sense. And today, I'll give you that. Today they kind of addressed the Hangman thing. Hangman said he's not going to join the Bucks. He's going to be on the corner of the Dark Order. So the Bucks don't have a third. So, you know, there's already been rumors all over the internet that Kenny is ready to come back. So, obviously, that's going to be the Bucks and Kenny. We also got House of Black versus Dark Order. I love the Dark Order. I wish them well. But if the House of Black loses that, it's going to be very bad for them.
You can't job them out because they're finally getting some momentum.
Yeah.
Because they're on TV a little bit more. And this angle with Miro, you know, who knows what's happening there. And I just think, you talk about the lack of TV time. I think the House of Black is definitely most affected by that, especially Malakai. Like, I love Brody. Like, he's awesome. But to me, Malakai's the leader.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they just don't use him enough, in my opinion.
He hasn't been wrestling much. He just does a lot of talking, a lot of segments where he comes out and helps out the other guys. But, yeah, it's underused as well. And then the final bracket is Best Friends, Trent Beretta, Chucky T and Orange Cassidy versus the Trust Busters, which even I was like, who the fuck is that? And apparently that's that new trio, which includes, let's see, I got the names right here. Aria Davari, Slim J, and Parker Beaudreau, or whatever, which was that dude from NXT that kind of looked like Brock Lesnar with a bunch of tattoos. He got fired during all the cuts and is now in AEW. I don't care. I don't want to. I hope the best friends win because I don't care about that right now.
I mean, it would be a shame if the best friends lost to that group. Nothing against that group. You could argue that it's a good way to get them over instantly is by beating the best friends. But
the best friends need a win.
Yeah, I mean, because Trent's so talented.
Yeah.
You know, he's in that Jay Lethal level. This guy should be on TV more, but, you know, it's a dead horse. Someone like Trent's also affected by, and Chuck Taylor as well.
Yeah.
And Orange Cassidy's just a fair amount, but, you know, if there's a second hour of Rampage, you know, maybe they could do a little more with that group.
Yeah. I'm gonna call this out. This is old. This is from the last, I think, Rampage or Dynamite. I don't remember. But Mox versus Mance Warner. What? I'm sorry, Tony Khan, but I watch a lot of indie wrestling.
He does.
A lot. I go to the shows. I go to New Japan, GCW, PWG, PCW Ultra, all of them. Who the fuck is Mance Warner? And there's no fucking promo package to, like, he comes out and just says something and then that was the match. I'm like, who are you? And also, he wasn't very good. I've heard he's better in MLW and all this stuff, like, after the fact. Maybe he was nervous because this is the biggest match of his entire career. But, man, that match stunk. And I had no idea who he was. And he doesn't look like a star. AEW has this problem of just throwing people into TV against their top champions and expect us to know who the fuck it is. It's weird. Just give us a little tiny video package.
Anything, like, you know, and this, that's more for fans like me than Eddie, because, you know, if Eddie doesn't really know who the guy is,
seriously,
you think I'm going to know? I mean, I guess you could say it's just an enhancement talent for Moxley, but I don't think Moxley really needs
that. He doesn't
that.
Need that shit. That was so stupid. That was stupid.
You know, it's just a waste. I don't know who's running creative. I'm assuming it's Tony Khan, but he might be better off after that decision and a few others to bring in at least one guy or girl has a checks and balance of, yeah, no one's going to know who that is. I mean, yeah. You talk about a wasted TV. Like, they don't have the time to waste on, you know, a bad script or a bad angle because they just don't have the time to recover from it. So, I don't know. I was just like, the bathroom break, and I had diarrhea that night, so I missed the last match after that, too.
Yeah, and it really shouldn't be a bathroom break when your world champion is on TV. You know what I mean? That should be the biggest thing on TV.
Well, I love Moxley. This is not a shot at him, because I got to see him wrestle in Nashville for a New Japan card. It was, I love him. What he does to his body is amazing, but his matches are, you know, pretty similar in terms of the moves, and, you know, at one point he's going to bleed. So I wish they would have either put him against a giant or maybe a New Japan guy who's, like, super fast, or I don't know. I just, this match was, it's like, what are you doing?
Watching Moxley is like watching paint dry. I'm just not interested in seeing a single thing that he does. Like, when you look at him compared to, like, Rollins and Roman, you're like, yeah, I get why he's not with the company anymore. He's not, sure, he could bleed, but I don't see him as an entertaining wrestler. I don't see him as a good interview. He's just an angry guy on camera. I don't know. He's
no, I mean, you know, to see him live in Nashville was kind of cool, like to get a feel for, okay, let me see the energy in the room when, you know, because I've only seen him on TV. But it was a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah, he's a one-trick pony, and it's not even that good of a trick.
And I think he needs, I think with him, to give him some new, not, I almost said new blood, but pardon the pun, but the opponent for him, I think, is key. You know,
yeah.
Whether it's someone big or someone fast, someone who's hardcore, as hardcore as he is, which is outside of Nick Cage. I don't know who that's going to be. But I just think his matches can come off a little stale.
I will say I understand what you are both saying, because I hear it from everyone. Like, there's a lot of people that don't like Mox. I'm a fan. I've been a fan even back in the Shield when he separated from the Shield. He was Dean Ambrose in the Ambrose Asylum. Like, I get why people don't like him, but I also, I don't know. I have a weird, I connect with him in a weird, crazy kind of way. So
I bet you do.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
But the same can be said, you know, people say that a lot about Flair. Like, two completely different wrestlers. But, you know, Flair does the same shit. You know, he does the flop. He does the thing where he flips over the ropes and like.
But it's entertaining, and it's funny to see him do that. There's nothing funny about a Mox match. There's nothing entertaining about it. I find it to be stale all the time.
Although when I did see him at the Forum, I have seen him wrestle once before live. You know, the crowd ate it up. You know, the wild thing. I think it's a great song. I don't know how they got the rights to it.
Billionaire money, buddy.
Sure, Joe and Jeff was like, hey, I'm opening up for Motley Crue in 2022. I need the cash. So, I mean, you know, he might be like Kiss, where, you know, you got to see him live.
And then I saw him at WrestleMania in New York. I was less than impressed. I saw him at WrestleMania. I've seen him at MSG in New York. I was like, all right, this is a bathroom break. He just doesn't entertain me. Maybe I have to watch more of his, like, bloody matches. Maybe it's more fun. Those are more fun, but... Just seeing him wrestle, I'm like, he's not a wrestler. I don't consider him a wrestler. I consider him a brawler, which is not fun to watch.
But I will say, at the smaller show in Nashville, when he came out, because I don't think he was announced, I mean, it was like a
roar.
Guns N' Roses concert started. I mean, because it was Friday night, it was really late, and like, so they needed a pick me up, and you know, he did. I mean, you know, they. Loved it. So I saw him interact with the wrestlers backstage. They were like, God was back there. Every independent wrestler back there was like, you know, so.
Because the dude's he's paid his dues too, man. Like, you know, he's not just the wacky Dean Ambrose people remember from WWE or the new AEW Mox. Like, he goes all the way back to CZW death matches. I've seen him get a fucking chainsaw to the face. Like, the dude's a maniac. He's paid his dues. And the whole fact that he still comes through the crowd, like, people love that shit. People love the fact that he's kind of a champion of the people. Like, he's in the crowd with them. It makes them feel good. I get it. I don't know. I'm going to do this real quick because we're running a little long and I want to get to the others section here. But tonight, and you haven't seen it yet either, so I'll just run through it.
No, take your time. Let's make this a fucking 4-hour podcast.
The Dynamite tonight was called Quake at the Lake. What an awful name. What the fuck are you guys doing?
They're stealing from WWE. This was the closest they were getting to Bash at the Beach.
It's so ridiculous.
Well, that's stealing from WCW.
I know. It's embarrassing, but like they're trying to compete with all the names that WWE owns.
Which is where Hogan turned heel. Bash at the Beach, 96.
They're just trying. Like, every Dynamite now has a name. It's weird. Like, just chill out. We don't need Quake at the Lake. That's fucking ridiculous. Anyway, it started with Brody and Darby in a coffin match. Insane. Like, within 30 seconds, Brody's entire face was dripping with blood because Darby hit him with his skateboard covered in thumbtacks on his face, and it was just dripping down. Like, it wasn't, I don't think it was meant to be that fucking bloody, but it was an insane match. Great match. Watch it. Darby won, obviously, because he has to win all the coffin matches in AEW. Madison Rayne came out. She just got hired as a head coach for the women's division, and she's two matches in, giving herself a fucking title shot against Jade. Just kind of irked me a little bit. Like, why is it, even if you don't know the backstory that she is a head coach, who is Madison Rayne, and why in her second match is she getting a title match? It's a little weird. I don't know. And then the main event was Mox, who we were just talking about, versus the Lionheart Jericho. Insane match. The crowd was doing, this is awesome, fight forever. Jericho, one of Jericho's best matches, I think, in AEW so far. Really, really good. Mox wins. Jericho's people come out and attack. And then, boom, CM Punk. CM Punk returns. He does a little hop on the bad leg so that people can see that he's good, like ready to go. Which there was a lot of rumors circling the internet about him not being ready in time for All Out, but obviously that's not the case. He seems to be in good shape. He actually seems a little bigger, too. He seems like he put on some muscle.
Yeah, I wonder how that happened.
Yeah, right? Steroids? Juicy.
Nah, he doesn't strike me as that type.
Nah.
I mean,
he's a sober guy. He's a sober guy. He won't do that.
He does have a great work ethic. You know, when you train with Duke Rufus in Milwaukee, like, that's a hardcore MMA gym. They train, like, legit champions. You know, I'm sure he went back to Rufus, and not for MMA training. I hope not. Yikes.
Yeah. No. He doesn't need that anymore.
But I'm sure when you're training with like the Anthony Pettises of the world, so I'm sure he worked pretty hard.
Yeah. And I'm going to rush through some of these other stories just so I can get to Earl to talk so that Earl can share his stories about the Flair roast. Quick, Kota Ibushi of New Japan, who was famously Kenny Omega's tag partner, the Golden Lovers and all that, has been out of New Japan for a year with an injury, has recently been tweeting about wanting a match in AEW, wanting to come through. So he might be returning to AEW. That'd be cool. Jonah, my boy Bronson Reed, that used to be in NXT, the North American champion, is in New Japan and beat Okada in the G1 Climax, which is super. I mean, Okada is considered one of the best, if not the best, professional wrestlers in the world by a lot of people. So him beating Okada is a big deal for him, and he's a homie. I, you know, had him on my show. So cheers to him. Hopefully he, you know, his career takes off and he becomes some kind of New Japan champion. And then rest in peace, Gene LaBelle. You know, the news, was it today or yesterday?
I read about it today.
Yeah, I read about it today. So, you know, rest in peace. You know, if you don't know who he is, look him up.
Oh, he's a legend.
Legend. Bryan Danielson uses his LaBelle lock all the time. You know, Josh Barnett posted about it today, too, how, you know, they had a joke within each other about how the double arm, the wrist lock, people would call it Kimura. And, you know, they hate that because he kind of was a champion of it. So, you know, rest in peace, Mr.
I will say I do have a very, very...
Yeah, tell me, you said you had a story.
At Roddy Piper's memorial, you know, him and Roddy were very, very close. Gene pulls up in the Comedy Store driveway to park in the lot. And, you know, that's sacred ground to you uninitiated here. Only the comics and paid regulars and, I guess, managers can park in that lot. And the young kid working the lot goes up to Gene LaBelle and goes, "You got to back it up, bro. Only paid regulars here." And he looks at me and goes, "Does he know who I am?" And I'm like, "No, I'll take care of it." And he just looked, he just stared at the kid. And the kid was so, he had such a Darth Vader like presence with his stare that the kid's like, "You can park over there, Mr. LaBelle."
Awesome.
So, man. Yeah, he's a true, true legend. And like you said, younger people have no idea who he is, with the exception of Ronda Rousey kind of, you know, mentioning him here and there. Like, any boxing or wrestling movie, he was the stunt coordinator. He was usually the referee. It's a big loss for the wrestling and MMA community.
Yeah. I will say, though, I've had a couple friends, like, super shocked. I'm like, dude, the guy was 89. I mean, we're getting to that point. I mean, it's not a shock, but it's also sad. It's very tragic and sad. Going on to the Ric Flair, last episode, I kind of mentioned it, but before Earl starts going into his stories about what happened, I do want to bring up that even Flair himself in a podcast mentioned that he passed out twice during his last match due to dehydration. He said, he was probably drinking his ass off all weekend with the roast and everything, and probably didn't drink enough water and passed out twice during the match. That's sucks, but he's also kind of using it as a lever to have another match. He doesn't want to go out like that.
I mean, I was around him for 3 straight days. I didn't see a lot of water bottles around him. I can't confirm what was in his cup at the roast, but that roast was very long. So, like, he had a red cup. I don't know what was in the cup. But, I mean, it was an amazing weekend. Like, I'm waking up every morning remembering something else nice. And, like, the roast was great. You know, everyone did well. Ty Domi. I feel bad for Ty. He was the hockey player. The teleprompter froze on him. So he stumbled a little bit, but he got the crowd back at the end.
And you really laid in on him, though.
I mean, everyone was worried about me. These comics, and a shout-out to the comics, Cassio, John Moses, Tyler Morrison, who killed, and Shuley, all just hammering Brad Nessler for being a pedophile. And he's not. But there was literally no dirt on him. Like, every comic was like, "Dude, we've looked you up. There's nothing to say about you." And so comics tend to make stuff up, and he was a good sport. And I mean, it was a fantasy. It was like a make-a-wish was granted to me. Like, you know, Friday night was the roast, and then there's an after party at Kid Rock's. That was Sunday night. Friday night was just the roast, and then Saturday was an all-day convention where every wrestler in the world was signing stuff, and then his last match was Sunday night, and then the after party at Kid Rock's Tootsie's bar. And believe me, Ric Flair was not drinking water at Tootsie's.
Did you meet Kid Rock?
He gave me a fist bump, said good job on the roast.
Nice, okay.
You know, the roast was like, just 2,000 people. Like, it's the biggest crowd I've ever been in front of. So, you know, when the jokes hit, you know, I had one or two jokes that, you know, it might have been a little too inside baseball. One about a particular paid regular here. I took a shot, though. I still think it's the best joke I did. You know, sitting, the funniest part was Bully Ray was sitting next to me on the dais, and, you know, he thought some people were bombing, and he just looked at me and goes, Earl, what do you do when you're bombing like this? And I'm like, well, I personally keep going, Bully, but I'm a madman. I almost cried 3 or 4 times the whole weekend. Like, you know, I walked by Magnum TA.
Mark Skakel showed up? Is that what you're
saying? Oh, 100%. Yeah, but this guy's marking out for some dude named, you know...
I don't mark out.
You know, oh, my God.
I just respect and acknowledge.
You're marking out at Pancake Tabubi, who, you know, like, wrestled in, like, you know, some obscure Japanese gymnasium league. You know, Magnum TA is different. Like, when you walk by him, and he was in a wheelchair.
Mm. Yeah, I saw that picture.
And... I mean, dude, if you Google Magnum TA and then see what he looks like now, like I started to cry. I'm like, hey, man, let me get you some water, because I didn't want to cry in front of Magnum TA. No, I mean, I'm being completely serious. Like, I was, because he's like this, you know, he looked like Magnum PI, but like muscular.
Yeah.
And to see him in a wheelchair and like kind of, you know, messed up, but still with it, I was like, I'll be right back, man. And then even, you know, Ricky Morton. I get to hang with Ricky Morton.
You hung out with the Nasty Boys and
Nasty Boys.
Soraya Page.
Soraya was great. Lita was amazing. I was taking pictures for her and the Nasty Boys, and I started walking away, and she's like, "Hey, Earl, let's take a picture together." Like,
nice.
And just so many moments of like that, and talking to Jay Lethal. You know, probably about an hour before the match, and it was like, wow. I mean, this is Flair's last opponent. Okay. Yeah. Carlos Colon, you bastard. I can kill Bruiser Brody, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, and I won't say the wrestler. I take back. The funniest moment was at the Hampton Airport Inn. They had a little breakfast each morning, and I'm there just chilling, and this 80s wrestler, this guy's a pretty big wrestler, is in line getting the eggs, and he takes out this massive handful of pills. Like, and these weren't like GNC vitamins, I can assure you of that. And he just swallows them whole, no drink, no nothing. He's like, it's just like the 80s, brother. And I'm like, oof. No, it's not. It's 2022. But so many just like epic moments.
You're going to have to tell me who that was off camera.
I will. Diamond Dallas Page was Bischoff. I mean, it was just like, it was like a dream weekend. I mean, you know, Virgil talking to me, spitting on me constantly. I don't think he's wiped his nose since, you know, 1987. Like, got boogers in there that look like icicles from Die Hard 2. Like, Vicky Guerrero, I have a total crush on.
Excuse me!
But she, God bless Vicky Guerrero, every comic was talking about her pussy. And she's smiling and just... You know, I had to hug her after and go, hey, man, we love you, and, like, we love your family, and, you know, Bischoff was great. I mean, it was just, like, an amazing Flair's ex-wife, Wendy, was there, and, like, she was awesome, and it was just, like, I'm not overselling it. It was just, like, how every gig should be, and you know, thank you to the Iron Sheik's manager for getting me on this, because he's an animal. He can get... He could have got you on it. Like, he could have gotten Sosa on it. Like, this guy, I literally messaged him, said, hey, you got to get me on this Flair roast. He calls me up an hour later. You're on it as a writer. I'm like, I don't want to be a writer on it. I want to be on the roast before they get bigger name comics. Calls me an hour later. You're on it as a performer. Like, it's just, nice. I need a Paige Majan, who also did the Iron Sheik roast here, sold out main room where I was dressed up as the Ultimate Warrior and bent over in front of Buff Bagwell to remind them of their prostitution days in Atlanta. an amazing weekend. And Ric Flair was amazing. Like, we're all shitting on him and, like...
Oh, I wasn't shitting on him. He said it himself. He passed out twice. Ric Flair's a goddamn goat. I'm not shitting on him at all.
But, I mean, like, we're talking about, you know, I think I... One of the jokes I did was he's embarrassed to be here. Look at that mask he's wearing. Oh, that's just his leathery face. you know, like, Ric Flair could get laid. I saw at Tootsie's, like, just beautiful women coming up to this guy. 73, he had Band-Aids, he's bleeding at Tootsie's. The girls would still fuck him.
Yeah.
And his ex-wife is, like, guiding him around. Like, I mean, God bless her. And Ricky Morton's kid, they had a cool match. Where they tagged against Arn Anderson's kid.
Oh, Brock Anderson.
And Brian Pillman Jr.
Oh, nice.
So I think Brian Pillman Jr., a little inside baseball for you guys, he kicked Ricky Morton a little too hard in the head. It was like one of the finishing spots, and Ricky Morton backstage was like, what happened? I don't remember the match. Like, he really got... no, that's not making fun of him. Like, he was amazing, but I think it just goes to show you, like, how younger guys shouldn't probably wrestle older guys, because I don't think Brian Pillman realized he hit him that hard.
Yeah.
So, it was just... And Jeff Jarrett was an amazing bad guy. I don't know what the pay-per-view picked up when he walked out and he's spitting on fans, and his wife, Wendy Jarrett, who I guess is Kurt Angle's ex-wife.
Yeah, something like that.
She was a great female heel. I think she grabbed Charlotte's hair, and like, it was, I'm glad I was asked to participate. So
I'll give you some props. You killed. I loved what you did. And also, you, I wanted to ask you, did you pick your seat? Because you were like on camera the entire time.
I didn't, and I feel bad because like at one point, I won't say what roster, but they might not have been having the best set. I thought, I know how to get the stage going again. So I pulled up my dick pic, and I just went like this. So if you notice at one point, the whole right side of the stage is laughing hysterically as someone's bombing on stage. And Bully Ray looks at the picture and goes, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, well, you asked what we do when we're bombing. I'm trying to get the room going. I got to write for Bischoff, DDP, and Brian Knobbs, and they were a pleasure to work with. I mean, you know me, I'm a negative person. I call out the bullshit. In 4 days, there was not. And Billy Gunn's kids.
Oh, the ass boys?
So nice. I'm like, I just want to fist bump the ass boys. And this little girl was like looking at me going, what? Like, she's like 7 years old. They are amazingly nice, you know, and so is Jay Lethal. Like, Bischoff was awesome. I mean, it was, the Von Erich kids, they were really cool. I mean, Sos just knows how bitter I am. I can't think of one negative thing. Like, it was,
yeah,
you could still watch it, I guess, on Fight TV.
Yeah, it's on Fight TV. Order
I don't
it.
Get paid for it. I'm just, but like, it's a pretty cool event.
Well, you got paid in you got your own little action figure bobblehead or something. I saw that on the Instagram.
That's the best part. Damn, I wish I brought it with me. So at the roast went so well, and it was very tough to put together. I mean, to coordinate comics, wrestlers, and getting to write. He's like, we're giving this to each person on the roast, and he hands me. If you go on my Instagram, it's a one-of-one Earl Skakel doll. And I'm dressed in a Ric Flair robe with my dome on the top. And, I mean, I've done comedy for 22 years. I will never... Like, it was amazing. And I also bought three doll. First of all, I bought a Lex Luger doll from Lex Luger.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because I... And here's the crazy thing. Like, I'm a huge Lex Luger guy. Lex Express, him and Flair, 40-minute match, I think Starrcade 1990. You know, he's not in the best condition. And so when he gave me his autograph, he grabbed the pen like this, and, you know, he started, I'm like, oh, this is going to look rough. It's the most perfect autograph I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, that was kind of neat. And I bought a Kamala doll.
Nice.
Sid Vicious doll. I was a man at 53 years old. I'm buying dolls, and the guy's like, don't tell people that, bro, because he's charging me $95 for a Kamala doll. They're not. And I almost pulled the trigger on this. You guys, he's like, don't call them dolls, call them action figures. okay. they had, and I almost pulled the trigger. I tried to get the Iron Sheik's manager to talk to the guy down, an Akeem doll in the box for $330. And I just couldn't do it.
You should have. You got the money.
I do. But people like me have money because we don't do frivolous purchases. But I might go on the website. I noticed the doll's down to $290 now. So it is.
When you say people like me, do you mean Jewish?
I'm Jewish.
Yeah, okay.
My mom's last name is Weinman. Come on.
All right. Well,
hey, what, real fast? You know the Holocaust? This might be viral. This will get on YouTube. this for all you comic marks. The Holocaust was the first Bringer show. Is that probably too inside? See what they do?
Inside what?
They have these things in the world of comedy called Bringer shows where you're not funny, but if you bring seven people, you can headline the fucking show. I'm just saying, the Holocaust, 6 million people showed up. Hitler was a draw. Gotta give him that. Gotta give him that.
All right. So thank you guys for watching comedy.
All right, fine. Let's scratch that, and he can talk about, you know, Jumbo Jacoby, who just did a dark match in PWG in
Listen
Taiwan.
Listen here, Mark Skakel freaking out about XPW. I don't want to hear it.
Wait a minute. That reminds me. One more thing, and I know this airs Monday. I will be at XPW Saturday at the I'm not getting paid for that. I have to pay for my ticket. Thanks, Jasmine, you bitch.
Wait, what's Saturday?
Saturday at the...
This Saturday.
I know it's going to be out. This is so. I'm sure XPW does, I don't know, pay-per-views or something. Brian Cage is in it. He's in the championship match against Willie Mack and Necro Butcher, whoever the hell that is. At the Derby in Pomona. XPW's... Morrison's wife.
Taya Valkyrie.
Taya Valkyrie is... defending her XPW title, the only female champion ever. It's probably, if you know XPW, it's not hard to believe. It's not exactly a female-friendly based wrestling promotion. But Rob Black texted me, said, hey, how you doing? So that's my...
You should text him back. How about a ticket? Why am I buying tickets to your
show?
Well,
you know, I'm like, I'm Jasmine's friend. I'm starting to realize saying you're Jasmine's friend might not be the best way for free tickets. But Jasmine's on the card. Maybe she could hook me up with one of the two porn broads she's wrestling. So XPW Saturday at the Derby. This will be done in this will be out Monday, so that happened 2 days ago, so enjoy it.
Yeah, he gives me shit for watching New Japan, but and here he is talking up the Derby with porn stars. Anyway, thank you for watching.
Who's our guest? Who's our next guest on this show? Ring Boy from PWG? I mean...
when you start bringing guests and you can talk shit.
Listen, I brought a guest, 20,000 followers on Twitter. Fuck 300 guys. I mean...
And that's talked about her murder investigation. Yeah, it was great.
And that's just in a sitting. That's not like 300 guys total. That's in one day's work. So, like, you know, this guy's getting us ring announcers from...
this guy got you John Hennigan. I don't want to hear shit about my guest selection.
Well, I've probably only gotten one guest. I'm working on... You know,
I love you, Earl.
We only do in-person interviews. So, you know...
It is tough to get guests in here. It is.
I mean, you know... Dirty Ron McDonald will be on the show in September. He was like, who's Dirty Ron McDonald? He's a great wrestler in XPW.
I know who Dirty Ron McDonald is. He wrestled at Bumps and Bruises in Iron Triangle when I was still working there, and I booked the fucking show. So
we're going to get Dirty Ron on. I'm demanding him and Rob Black, our future guests. And then who's our guest?
Zeta Zhang. Zeta Zhang will be in the house. She was the first Asian-American wrestler in WWE. She was in the Mae Young Classic. She was in NXT. She's in AEW against Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm. And she's an MMA and Jiu-Jitsu competitor. I don't want to hear it, bro. I'm bringing the fire. Anyway. Thank you guys for watching. I love you guys. I love you.
Love you. Great to be back. so go on fight. Are we plugging stuff? Or?
Yeah. Please follow us at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram, at Stores War on Twitter. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast on Instagram and all the things. And then Earl?
At Earl Skakel everywhere. And then if I don't get paid anything for this, so I'm not trying to plug it, but they were very good to me. So You can watch the Ric Flair roast and his last match on, I think, Fight.tv and StarCast Events.
Yeah, definitely do that. It was
follow
good.
Them because they treated me very, very well. And follow Storrs War on Twitter. You know, you guys complain about the fucking guests we don't get. Well, you know, you think some big wrestler's going to look at, they have 225 followers. I'm down. So
yeah,
spread the word.
Us.
It's free. We're doing free work for you guys.
Yeah, follow us. We're not charged. We don't have a Patreon. We're not charging you for fucking episodes. They're all on YouTube. On the Comedy Store Wrestling. Subscribe to the Comedy Store Network on YouTube. Follow us. Leave a comment. Leave a review. Do something.
Yeah,
email
it's
us.
Free. It's, yeah, you it's know, Stosis works for free.
Yeah.
You know, we're working for free, and we don't mind it because we're big wrestling marks.
Yeah.
But, you know, we need a little help. You know, you guys want, like, CM Punk on this podcast or, you know, I don't know, whoever. You never want to hear the words XPW again, then, you know, start fucking retweeting. Like, that's literally the only pipeline to big guests we have is, you know, we'll get Willie Mack on. Not the comic, but the guy in the three-way for the fucking thing Jasmine's in charge of.
Willie Mack's great. He's been in the local scene for a long time. Anyway, cheers to you guys. Please follow us, and we'll see you next week.